Father God, we thank you that you are here, but you're always here. We just need to be mindful of it. And we thank you that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you be with us, talk to us, fellowship with us, as we fellowship and praise you, that we may hear your voice, your words, your wisdom. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. I've said it before, said it again. The services go together. Other people pick the hymns. It's one of the things I did whenever I first came here, and I was delighted to find out that the organist and organists pick the hymns. And the reason why I say that is not just because it saves me from doing it, but because what it does is it's me not manipulating things to go the way I want it to go, but it's staying open to God to allow him to take things the way that he wants them to go. Because that's far more important than anything. Because any church, any congregation, it's not about one person. Well, that's not right. What I meant to say, it's not about one parishioner. But it is about one person. And that one person is Jesus. And again, I can be technical in that in my prayer, I talked about the Father, I talked about Jesus, I talked about the Holy Spirit. Because they're all God. Because God has revealed himself to us as being one God. And though we maybe don't all totally grasp what that means or what that looks like, we believe it. And we believe it by faith. We believe it by faith. Because the Bible says so. And somewhere along the line, for all of us, we came to a point where I believe this. I maybe don't understand it all, but I know it to be true. And it might be through circumstances. It might be through things that have happened in your life. It might be through things that people said, and not necessarily from the pulpit. Or not necessarily from the speaker at the front. It could be through just talking to somebody. But somewhere along the line, it just clicked. And we got it. And we understood it. Or we got it, and I can't explain it, but I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. Almighty God is real. He's not just a picture from the Bible. He's not just something out there. Almighty God is real. And I believe. I believe. And wherever that point was, or wherever that time was, we then actively or on purpose seek him. Seek him to know more, to understand, to fellowship with him. And we know verses, and I can quote scripture right, left, and center about he's always with us and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But until we get to know those in here, until we get to know him in here, it's just words. But when that spark, whenever that idea, whatever it is that we respond to, everything changes from there. Now, I've told you part about my testimony. And I grew up in the church all my life. But I've been actively seeking God for 40 years now. And I'm still learning. And he's still teaching me. And he's still training me. And he's still changing me. And he'll keep doing that until the day that I die. But in the midst of all of that, I love him to bits. And hopefully, as I say this, your testimony is similar. I say similar because it will not be the same, because it's mine. But it will be similar. And the reason why I believe God's led me to say that is because I want to start by looking at Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, we have Peter began to speak. And he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. I know that I know that I know that God loves me to bits. But he does exactly the same with you. And I don't understand how that works. Because I know in a million years' time, whether I'm with him in heaven or I'm in the new earth, don't know. He's still going to love me to bits. And I'm going to love him back. And I'm going to be delighted to be with him. And we think, a million years, like, what? And I don't understand that, but I know that to be true. Because he's from everlasting to everlasting. And this time that we have on earth is just a practice. It's just a practice. It's just getting us ready for being with him all the time. Now, again, we are with him all the time, but we've got so much distraction in this life. There's so many things that cause us to be off focus. But you see, when you die and you go to be with him, you won't be off focus. You'll just see him and in his glory and his beauty and wow, Almighty God loves me. And you won't be distracted by the different things because you'll be there with him and totally focused on him. But he's with us here now and we're with him, but we get distracted. And that's part of what your journey in life is. It's trying to be less distracted and more focused on him. Because as I said, it's not about one parishioner and what they think. It's not about one minister and what he or she thinks. It's all about him. And so Peter goes on and he says, God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea. And he starts telling the story. That's his testimony. That's his story. And he's just relating to the people. You know what happened. You know who came. You saw it, you heard about it. And no, they didn't have the internet. And they didn't have newspapers. But they had word of mouth, which is what Judaism was built upon. And they heard. They heard about this Jesus. They heard about the 3,000 and the 5,000 being fed. They heard about people being healed. They heard. And if they didn't hear, they went and they saw. And they heard. But that was just his life. They also heard what they did to him. They hung him on a tree. Killed him. And he goes on. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And that's what's needed because that's what the other reading's about, Matthew 3. Because Jesus comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. And there's different accounts in the Gospels of what happened at the baptism. One gives the impression that John didn't know who he was. In Matthew's account, John knew who he was, and he's going, "You come to be baptized by me? Like, hello? I need to be baptized by you." And in that phrase, what he was saying is, "I'm not worthy." Something that we're all very good at. "I'm not worthy." Look at poor old me. "You don't realize what I do. How can I possibly come to you? God, I'm not good enough." But in a sense, in that sentence in Matthew 3, Jesus hits that right in the head. "Because it's not about you, John. This has to be done because it's about me." How does he say it? Jesus replied, this is verse 15 of chapter 3. "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. In other words, to make everything right. And not only to make everything right, but to make it possible that every single person can stand in a right place before God, "You need to baptize me." Because in Jesus being baptized, he made it possible that whenever we come to God, it's not because of little old me, but it's because of Almighty Him. Ephesians 2 tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. All of this that's available to us is because God has made it possible. But it comes because we believe it. And we believe it because we believe Him. Which is where I was starting with, because Almighty God loves me to bits and I love Him back. And I'm learning more and more about Him as we all learn more and more about Him, and we're on a journey. Because the longer we go on, the more we realize that it's not really about us. It's just about Him. And if we can get our eyes off the things that are going on in life and just get our eyes on Him, it all becomes clear. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak. I am weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me." I remember singing that in my Methodist days. Absolutely loved that hymn. And wished the chorus would go on and on and on. "Yes, Jesus loves me." And yet I didn't believe as I believe now then. I wasn't seeking God then, but I was in church, but I loved the hymn. And maybe in a sense, as I accredit my Christian life as being 40 years of actively seeking Him, and it's probably a bit longer than that, because I was taught that Jesus loved me, and He does. Why? The Bible says so. The Bible says so. I believe it. I love that hymn. That's really short, which is awful. So I'm just sing it and 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 sing it. Because Jesus loves me. And if that doesn't put a smile on your face, you need to realize Jesus loved you. Jesus loves you. And yes, the next bit that comes after that, and He wants you to be with Him forever. But you know who makes that decision? You, not Him. Jesus did die for the sins of the whole world. But those who get the benefit from the benefits are those who go, yes, Lord, I believe. I maybe don't understand, but I believe. I know that you love me and I want to love you back. I believe. And it's the I in there. And yes, it's a belief from the heart. It's not just words. Because we can sing the words and we can sing the hymn and it just goes over our heads. Because it did for me for years. But Peter goes on. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good. Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Hopefully you'll read that and it says the same in your Bible. Because people have a doctrine, which is a lie from the pit of hell, that Jesus didn't heal everybody. Jesus went around healing all, not some, not some. Every single person that came to him, Jesus healed them. Ooh, hopefully you caught what I said there. Everybody that came to Jesus, Jesus healed them. Because some of you may be thinking of the story that I just thought of. And that's the woman with the issue of blood. Because she pressed through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment and bang, she was healed on the spot. And people go, what about all the other people that were around him? He didn't heal them. Because I'm sure there's some of them that were sick. But there's only one person in the crowd that came looking to get healed. And Jesus turned to her and he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Bang, on the spot. That's what Jesus did. He did good and he healed all who came to him. This is Peter's testimony. And I could get off here and go along and say, and that's exactly what you and I are supposed to do. Because we got Jesus in us. And we hopefully have got the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in us as well. But we'll leave that for another day. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And God's with you. So do good and heal everybody that you come in contact with. Verse 39, and I'm in Acts 10 again. Verse 39, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He's not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. You know, that sentence there. He ate and drank. We ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. You know, do we think about what it says? It's not zombies. You know, Jesus died on a cross. He was taken down from the cross and he was put in a grave. He was dead. Dead. And the reason why they knew he was dead was because when the soldier put the spear in his side, out flowed water and blood, or blood and water. And just ask anybody that's in the medical profession and they'll tell you that when the person dies, the life goes out of it and the blood splits. And that was proof alone that he's dead. Because his blood split. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, he was alive. How do I know? Because he met with the disciples, he walked with the disciples, he sat down, he had a meal with the disciples. It wasn't a dead man walking. It was a man who was dead, who's now alive again. And because he's alive again, he needs to eat. Or maybe he didn't need to eat, but he chose to eat. But he ate with his disciples, and he drank with them. Most dead bodies that I'm familiar with don't do that. But he rose from the dead, and this is their testimony. They saw it. They witnessed it. It was their story. And every single one of us in here have a story. And it's personal. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And it's exactly the same thing that he's commanding to us. But you don't have a testimony like this. That's right. But you do have a testimony. Because you love him. And you love him because he loves you. And so you share your testimony. You share with the people that you meet. And you bring healing to the people that you meet. Not because it's something magical that you do, because of who's in you. You know, at the end of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, it says, these signs shall follow those who believe in his name. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Doesn't say anything about praying for them. People get caught up with, what am I going to say? Say nothing. Just lay hands on them. How do you lay hands on people? Some want to do it like that, but preferably not round the neck. Just lay hands on them. And if you're embarrassed about laying hands on them, just sit beside them and, you know, rub up against them. Like, don't be weird about that, but, you know, just sit there. And believe that because of who is in you, is going to touch them. That's all it is. And for some people, it should be jumping up in joy. You mean they don't have to say anything? No, nothing. Wow, great. But you know what you're doing when you sit beside somebody who needs help? And you're making a conscious decision to try and lay hands on them just by sitting beside them. You're doing it because you believe. Do you know why you don't? Because you don't. Reason why I take people's hands to pray for them. And generally, I don't pray for them. I just sit there holding their hand. And I've got to the point where I'll talk now and I'll say, you know, you are holding Alan Capper's hand. But Alan Capper can't help you. But Jesus Christ, who is an Alan Capper, can. And as you hold my hand, be mindful of holding his. Be mindful that the power of the Holy Spirit that's in me is hopefully uniting with the Holy Spirit that's in you, which is true if they're saved. And draw on the power of God for what you need. And I see people healed. Some of them get healed on the spot. Some of them get healed gradually. There's a man I've been visiting over the last couple of weeks. who's been suffering great pain. And each time I go, the pain is less. Now, does that mean, hey, Alan Copper's brilliant? No. But Almighty God is. And I'm just being faithful. And as I go, the pains are different. And I go, haven't actually said it, but in a sense, by my actions, I've said it is no big deal. Sit down, give me your hand. And it's nearly like, in a sense, that's exactly what he's waiting for. And he's getting to the point where he's looking for it. And in a sense, he's looking for it because he's now quicker to tell me that he's got a pain. Now, can he get that directly from Jesus? Of course he can. We all can. But we're all on a journey. And we're not necessarily there yet where we can stand up on our own. And there's times when I get into things, I'll go and talk to other people. There's people that I have on my phone list. Or if there's a particular problem that I'm going through, I'll get on the phone and go, hey. And there's a friend of mine, and it's funny now, but it got annoying after a while. And then it got funny because anytime I ring him up and I ask, I say I've got a problem, I know what the answer's going to be before I ask him. Because I now come on and I go, and his name's Alan as well, and I go, hello Alan, the answer is pray in tongues, but I want to tell you what the problem is. And that's what his answer is, pray in tongues. And I know that's the right answer because it's not me drawing even on him or on other people, it's drawn on he that is within me. Because he that is within me already knows the answer. And he that is within me already has the power for the answer. Because it's all about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. Verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets test about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And that's what it's all about. Even the prophets, i.e. the people from hundreds and thousands of years before John and Jesus and Peter, testified about Jesus. And what's happened since then, in the last 2,000 years, is that people have been testifying about Jesus. And they tell and they share their story. So go and do likewise. Go and share your story. And as you go and share your story, continue to build on the story that you have by realizing Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. And grow in your love and your knowledge of him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for everything that he is and was and is right now for us. All that he did. But we thank you that he's alive. He's the first raised from the dead. And he's sitting in the right hand, on your right hand in heaven. And there's many, 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 many going to fall. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us that there's going to be much, much, much more than aren't. But help us to stand up and take our place as witnesses and testify of what we know and share what we know about Him. That indeed, He is Lord of all. He's my Lord. He's my God. Why don't you make Him your Lord and your God too? Why don't you answer to His love for you and say, yes, Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn. And our next hymn is actually in the order of service. And it's Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. O Lord, Kumbaya. Seventeen.